The Dub D Dub Review podcast is proud to have two great sponsors, the Magic for Less Travel Agency and the Theme Park Brothers. The Magic for Less is an authorized Disney vacation planner. Let the agents for the Magic for Less, including our very own Laura Fitzpatrick, help take care of the important details like dining reservations, fast pass planning, and discount checking to ensure that your next Disney vacation will create memories to last a lifetime. Plus, their services are completely free. You pay nothing and can benefit from their years of knowledge and experience. More information can be found on themagicforless.com. We've also partnered up with the Theme Park Brothers. Michael, Jordan, Cameron, and Christina Black have some of the nicest quality Orlando attraction videos on YouTube. Subscribe and check out their latest videos, which are sure to keep you entertained, as well as keep you informed of all the latest changes to the Walt Disney World Resort. Search for the Theme Park Brothers on Facebook and YouTube, and at Theme Park Boys on Twitter. Hello, and welcome to the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by Peter Ponikorvo and Michael Black. How you guys doing?
Good, Chris.
Michael? Doing great, Chris.
You doing good?
Yes.
We are not joined by Laura, as she's still in Walt Disney World, so is she in for a surprise and a rude awakening when she gets back, huh, Pete?
Almost as bad as yours.
This is worse. Michael, what's the weather down there today?
It's pretty warm. I had the windows open earlier and I had to shut them. It's very nice. I mean, I can't even tell you what the exact temperature is. Probably close to 80.
Pete, do we want
Why would you even ask him that question?
Do we want to even continue on? He could have lied. He could have said it was terrible.
Well, you're the one that brought it up. Like, it's as much as your fault as it is his.
That was kind of a layup. That was no good. So,
yeah, I can't really help the weather. I mean, it's it is what it is.
Yeah. All right, you guys ready to join me on this this journey today? So, in full disclosure, nor Pete nor Michael know what the topic's about. They're just going to go with me, and I want their gut reactions to some of these questions. But I've got some trivia and some facts to throw at you. So, you ready to get going?
I'll do my best.
Absolutely.
All right, so when Walt Disney World first opened, what was the cost of a one-day ticket? Bear in mind, it was a little different back then. They had books, coupon books, did they not?
Yeah, no, admission was cheap. It was like, we're talking Disney World?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was like a couple of bucks, like $3-4.
Michael, do you have a guess?
I'll go closer to 10.
$3.50.
Oh, man.
So you kind of split the number there, Pete.
Yeah.
Now we're approximately $116 for a one day at the Magic Kingdom. All right. So,
but all that got you was the ability to walk around inside. You didn't get to ride anything.
That is true. It was different back then, correct, with coupon books, correct.
That's so, kind of pretty much how it is sometimes there now for $100. But
that is, I could imagine as a local, you've probably been there, gone to the park, been on one or two rides tops, and like left, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what ends up happening.
Yeah,
most of the time. Yeah, or we'll do our three fast passes. Yeah,
we have the same experience at Six Flags, but the lines are so astronomically long for some of the rides that we literally go there for the kid rides, two or three kid rides, maybe dinner, and go home. So we become kind of jaded to that process.
I haven't even been to Six Flags in years.
I could save you. Don't worry. Right. All right.
Well, the thing with Disney is, it's not, for us anyway, it's not about the ride, the attractions even. You know, we just love being there. So it's just being in there. So I guess we could have paid $3.50 a day and been good to go.
Well, that's a great point. Because for you guys, it's about being there. You know, for Six Flags, it's completely about the attractions. Cause,
well, that's all they have.
Yeah, no one's going there for the atmosphere. And no one's going there for the people watching. I mean, you could, but questionable, you know.
So, all right,
we're gonna
moving on.
Yeah, we're gonna move
people,
on.
People of Walmart, people of Six Flags. Yeah, we're gonna move on. Not a whole lot different.
All right, question two.
At least our Six Flags.
How many bags of popcorn are served each year at Walt Disney World? Facts courtesy of DisneyDining.com. Is it 2.5 million, 3.4 million, 5.2 million? No matter what it is, it's stupefying already, is it not?
You know? I'll go with 2.5 million.
See, I'm going 5. Just because I'm pretty sure that admission or attendance is above that, so...
5.2 million translates to over 345,000 pounds of popcorn every year. That is a crazy number. Agreed? That is just a bonzo number. So, you'll get the idea of where I'm taking you here, and because these are all, you know, the advancement of costs at Walt Disney World, and that's going to kind of relay upon our topic. But I've got one more fact for you, because it plays upon our last show, which is the Disney Dream Jobs. So the average number of daily...
Hey, Chris, that wasn't our last show.
Ah, see? I'm caught in a time warp, right, Pete?
You and I recorded a show after that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I listened to it.
Well, you have to excuse me. I've been shoveling snow all morning, all right? So, all right, the average number of daily monorail passengers. How many people currently ride the monorail per day? And I'm not giving you a hint. Give me a number. What do you think?
Oh. I'm saying 50,000.
I don't want to sound stupid.
I always sound stupid, Michael. Don't worry about it.
We're talking to Chris and Pete. This is our job, right? This is what we do.
Well, I was going to say 60. So I'll just stick with 60. If 50 isn't bad, then I'll go with 60.
150,000 passengers per day.
Are you serious?
That's the number I got, and the internet's never lied. So, we're good to go. So,
I wonder the cars don't always smell springtime fresh.
No doubt. Like feet and body odor. What happened there? Who did that? So, let me take you on my voyage. This show is called Tis the Season of Upgrades. And I brought you both on because you're both passionate about Disney like me. Michael, you're a local, and we count on you for that local knowledge. And Pete, you go, and you go once in a while, but you look forward to it like no one else. So, let's talk about some things that have recently taken place at the Walt Disney World Resort. And I want your gut reactions. This kind of started on a different show that I was on, which is the Resort Loop podcast. And I wanted to continue on with you guys, because I wanted to know what you guys think about this. So, Michael and Pete, you guys are walking around the Magic Kingdom. It's a beautiful day. You know you're a little tired, but golly geez, you're staying at the Wilderness Lodge. That's a long way to go. But you look over and you realize...
I am not paying $650 for that tent.
Well, there is no way.
Well, hang on. Let me describe it to you.
No.
Right. Hang on. Let me finish the question, Pete. You got
a gut reaction. You got it.
All right. So for $691.19, tax included, but the price is subject to change, you could obtain a Magic Kingdom cabana, all right? So let me tell you what the amenities are included. They are private, and they have some shaded seating, small fridge with drinks, snacks, a recharging station, and a storage locker. You get reserved seating for parades and fireworks, as well as personalized Mickey ears for everyone. And I do understand that at one point, someone will stop by with Mickey ice cream bars. Now, I realize this is probably not for, what's the percentage here, guys? Like 99% of the population? Would you do this? Who reserves this? And what kind of value is this?
I don't do it. Kanye West does it. And it is not a value to me at all.
Kanye. How did Kanye get worked in this conversation?
I don't know. He's got more money and he knows what to do with, so he does stupid things and probably would get that.
Michael.
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's kind of something I'm going to say for all of this. I'm sure that's going to be happening the whole show. Now, I can probably justify some of it. This one, to me, just reeks of... We have to give the people who have the money something special to come to Walt Disney World because and now this is just my opinion, I think that it's gotten to the point to where the average, maybe middle class family and a little higher are able to come to Walt Disney World. they're able to go in the parks. So those who used to be able to go to Walt Disney World and be able to afford that luxury more than others want something more that they can have to throw their money around. Okay. That's just my opinion. You know,
Well, I understand they're starting off with five, and this is, I don't want to say a pilot program. This is obviously a test program to see if it can gain traction. So, again, that number is $691.19 for a one-day rental. So, I think I pretty much knew the reactions beforehand. So, all right, so if that's not to your pleasing, perhaps this is. All right, so you're out of the Magic Kingdom, and you decide to take your lovely wives on a wonderful date. Okay, so you decide you're going to do the Highway in the Sky Dine-Around.
I love this one.
Hang on. Pete, have you heard about this one yet?
I've heard of it, about it, yeah.
All right, so let me walk you through it, all right? So your adventure begins at the Contemporary, where you're going to check in at the Wave. By the way, I'm kind of paraphrasing from the actual Disney site right now. You're going to check into the Wave. You're going to have some appetizers and a special cocktail. And then you're off. You're on the monorail. You're going to the Polynesian. And you're going to do a very similar thing right there, where you're going to have more appetizers and probably a cocktail. And then you jump over to the Grand Floridian, where you're escorted to Citricose, where there's going to be a special meal, followed by you're going to gather in the lobby to sip champagne and savor artisanal cheeses. You're going to then go to the Contemporary, where you're going to be on a private patio to enjoy desserts, cordials, and coffee. And you're going to have a special seating for the Wishes Nighttime Spectacular. Does that interest you, Pete? Is that something that would be something you'd like to take Missy on?
I don't know. I mean,
would you like to?
I get the crawl thing, and I know it appeals to a lot of people. I'm one of those people that likes to, when I sit down to a nice meal, I want to sit down, relax, and enjoy the meal at my leisure. Not have to worry about catching the monorail to the next stop and all that stuff. So if it was something she wanted to try, I would probably take her on it. But honestly, I don't think that's something I'd do.
Okay, well, let me give you a little more detail so you can make a better decision here, which I'm sure it wouldn't sway you. But it's $150 per person plus tax, but gratuity is included. It's offered on select Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. You must cancel it at least 24 hours in advance, much like a regular Disney dining reservation. you cannot use part of your Disney dining plan to offset the cost of this in any way. No discounts or promotions are valid. So at the cost of $300 per couple plus tax. Michael, what do you think?
Me and Christina have actually talked about this, and we both think it's actually a pretty good value.
Okay.
For the two of us, and now, mind you, the two of us haven't had a date in 12 years, so, you know, any amount of money probably isn't too much for us to have a night where it's just the two of us, we talked about it, and the fact that dinner's included, and then if you just add that with the private viewing of Wishes, you know, an area at the Contemporary, I think that alone kind of offsets the price. But then you're adding, you know, you're adding some appetizers here, some appetizers there. I think it would be a great experience, and I don't think that the cost is too high for such a experience.
Pete, any thoughts in addition after you hear the numbers?
For $150 a person, there's other restaurants I'd rather eat at.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm one of those people where, like, if I'm sitting down to a nice meal, I want to enjoy it and take my time and just relax, be waited on. And
okay,
to me, it's not worth the extra anxiety of, all right, well, we gotta get back on the monorail in 10 minutes, so finish eating fast.
Yeah, I guess I would say that. The sum of $300 is a lot of money, but it's not backbreaking money. So it's an experience, you know? So you're going to budget 3 hours or so for the evening for you and your wife. So it's not like, oh my gosh, I just spent $1,500 or $691.19 on a cabana. So, okay, interesting. Got opposing opinions there. So, all right. So you finish your dining, right? And you decide the next day you're going to stay away from the theme parks. You're going to make it a pool day. Okay, can you kind of see where I'm going here?
This does not sound like me.
me either, to be honest.
All right, you're getting out of your comfort zone and you're making this a pool day, okay? And you're staying at either the Polynesian, Contemporary, or Grand Floridian Resort, okay?
All right, with you there.
Right. Nice, right? And Pete is staying here, so Pete, pay attention, right?
I'm listening.
You decide you're going to spend the entire day at the pool. And it's going to be glorious. I could smell the coconut sunblock already. You want to rent a cabana. Okay? And they just put these cabanas up at the quiet pool at the Polynesian. But I don't want the quiet pool. I want the cabana. I want the cabana at the main pool. So, you're going to rent a private cabana. You will receive, for the standard cabana, may I ask, 2 lounge chairs, 2 straight back chairs, your towels, a 32-inch LCD TV, a DVD player, a phone, a fridge, a mini fridge with soda and water, and a fruit basket. Current pricing is, both in half-day and full-day variety, $110 for the half-day variety, $185 for the full-day. If you wanted a premium cabana, they are much larger, and they offer beach access. The furniture is a bit more plush, and you get a private deck with a dining table. However, it does not come necessarily with food, because it says you can also arrange for private dining and a poolside massage. And it's approximately $350 for the half-day premium cabana. But we don't need to be extravagant. We can just get the regular cabana. $110 for half, $185 for full. In what scenario is that? Are you renting that? Or who is renting that? Or does that really interest you? Pete? Pretend you're a pool guy.
Okay, but for $110, I can go to Epcot for the day.
I can hear your head smoking from here. You're so angry at this cost. So
no, it's not something I would do. Yeah. I'm not one of those people. When I go to the beach, I'm there for an hour or two. I'm not there for half a day or all day. Mm-hmm. I'm just not that type of person. If I go to the pools for a grand total of 3 hours, it's a miracle. Even when I go to the water parks, I'm not sitting in a lounge chair.
Michael, what do you think?
I'm trying to justify this in my head.
You try, but you can't.
For me and my family, it wouldn't. I couldn't justify it because we're kind of the same. We love to possibly walk on the beach. We like to maybe go sit by the pool. I don't know that we would be there long enough that we couldn't just go back to the room if we're staying there. Mm-hmm. To take in the things that we're already paying for. Instead of getting a new TV by the pool, I mean, we could just go to our room and watch the TV if that was necessary. There's probably a fridge in the room already. To justify it, I guess maybe if, let's say, a kid's birthday party. Maybe you were having your kid's birthday party and there were other families that were staying with you and you wanted to be able for your children to have a nice place to put the cake, that sort of thing. Maybe that might be justified because you're paying about that much to go rent something somewhere else if you're, you know, at home or whatever to do a birthday party. So maybe I could justify the little, not the gigantic one, yeah. Not the deluxe or whatever.
But see, that's the size you would almost need if you're going to have multiple families sitting in there for the cake.
Because it only comes with 4 chairs, 2 lounges, well, no, and 2 straight
chairs. I'm
desks.
Not meaning, I guess, everybody in there. Everybody would still be outside of it, but a place for you to keep
okay.
Everything. So it would be like central headquarters. It wouldn't be the actual. Everybody would still be around the pool.
So I understand that the one at the Polynesian by the quiet pool, and this was on the DVC Roundtable show, it's about $40 for the day, for the full day. Would that appeal to you more? $40 for the quiet pool at the Polynesian for a full day. Now, I don't know if, in fact, you get the same thing. I don't know if, in fact, you get the mini fridge with soda and water. I believe those accommodations are merely just a covered shelter where it's yours for the day. Would that appeal to you?
It wouldn't to me, because that just seems like a waste. I've always thought it's a waste of a day if you're at Walt Disney World and you're just sitting there at the pool. I can do that anywhere. I can do that at my house. So, yeah, for me, it doesn't make sense.
Pete, what do you think about $40?
I'd be more willing to part with $40 for it than I would for $110.
Yeah. Maybe if you knew that was the day you budgeted as your relaxing day, and you didn't want to have to fight with people to try and get yourself a seat, you know what I'm saying, or have people squishing next to you, it might be worth $40 for that day. But then again, if that was your pool day, are you ending up at the quiet pool? You know, you want to go to the pool. You want to go to the pool with the volcano. So, okay. So far, we got a bunch of no's, maybe a little yes for the highway in the sky. So let me see if I can't sway you. I got a good idea here, okay? So initially, I thought of this as, what in the world is this? So hang on 1 second. Let's think. You're at the parks. You want to jump over really quick over to Epcot, and you're at the Magic Kingdom. And you decide to explore the express transportation option. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Can I describe it to you and then give me your opinions? So the express transportation option, and I'm going to read right from the Disney site, is now you can breeze between all four theme parks with fast, nonstop bus service that drops you inside the main gates and closer to the Magic so you can start playing right away. If you have tickets with the Park Hopper option, adding express transportation is a great way to pack even more fun into your day. Special buses will take you directly to the drop-off location inside the theme parks you want to visit, with no waiting to re-enter at the gate. No matter which park you're in, you're ready to enjoy any of the others. Just make sure to make your way to our express transportation check-in location, where a cast member is going to escort you to your bus. They depart approximately every 30 minutes. They're available from 10 a.m. until park closing. And they travel directly between each of the theme parks with no stops along the way. It lets you off inside the main gate, so you're in the middle of fun from the moment you arrive, and give you unlimited transfers between all four theme parks for as long as your ticket is valid. The location are marked here, the location, but I don't think the locations are as important as the details. For one day, $15. For multi-days, which is valid for up to 7 consecutive days, beginning on your first day of purchase, $24. What do you think about this, Pete?
I think if I didn't have an annual pass, it would be a better deal for me.
Okay.
Because I know the annual pass holders are not allowed to partake in the multiple day option.
Okay. Now, I did read just this morning that that was now being moved away and that it was valid for annual pass holders. So we'll have to verify that. We'll have to go back to the current.
If that's the case, then I could see doing that, absolutely.
Okay. For $24 for roughly a week, for roughly $50 for you and Missy, correct?
Yep.
Michael, what do you think? Pretend you now you travel from home, so you're a little different. So pretend you're kind of on vacation, or how does it impact you as a local?
I think it's a great option, and I don't think the price is as bad as it could have been. I think the price is actually reasonable. And I think that after hearing that they drop you inside the gates, that was the thing that made the difference for me. Because when you think about it, if you're park hopping, I don't think the trip from park to park on the bus is going to be that big of a difference between getting on a regular bus to, you know, from park to park. I don't think that part is going to be that much different, because they don't stop anyway. What I think the difference in time saver is going to be is not having to go through bag check, not having to go through to scan your pass again. That ability to skip that whole hassle, I think, would be worth it if you're already forking the money for the park hopper option.
That's a great point. So do you think the one day option is a respectable option? Because I'm sure we're all thinking of the multiple day option. If you're on vacation for a week, truthfully, Pete, I agree with you. I almost think it's a no-brainer. I think $24 is actually a fairly cheap price. If you're going to go to the park 4 or 5 days, I think that's...
Especially if you're like me, where you'll be at one park, but then you're dining in a different park. That's absolutely a no-brainer for me.
Correct.
And think about those who aren't, you know, and we're Disney people. I mean, we go all the time. We know how to get to it here and there. Imagine what an advantage this is for someone who's coming for the first time or yeah. doesn't really know how to navigate the parks. I mean, my goodness, they're able to go to one spot in the park and then get let off at another one. It would be awesome. So,
you know, and I agree with you about the price. I think the price could have been higher for something like this. It's going to definitely promote the park hopper option, too, as far as a ticket option. I only have the base tickets. You know, even though I have many days left on my no expiration passes that I bought years ago, I didn't buy park hopper option. I just bought the base ticket, one park per day. So it would definitely promote you to buying the park hopper option as well, too. So, heck, I wouldn't be surprised to see this rolled into a ticket cost eventually. If you buy the park hopper, you get to use the express transportation, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I thought they were going to do that with FastPass back in the day. I thought they were going to end up having FastPass as certain ones for certain tickets, certain stays, certain resorts. So,
So let me ask you the last one, and this one I don't have notes on, but frankly, this came from a conversation that, Pete, you had with Laura yesterday night. So do you want to kind of fill in us on the text conversation you were having with Laura last night?
Well, let's see. Let me pull it up here. I know Laura was stating she was kind of underwhelmed with Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Now, bear in mind, Michael already had... Michael, didn't you do... you did the Halloween show. Have you? When was the last time you were at Mickey's Very Merry?
We have never done Mickey's Very Merry.
Okay.
And the reason is because most of the options you can see close to Christmas for free. So...
Was that the gist she was giving you as well, Pete? It looked like she was underwhelmed at the cost, underwhelmed at the offerings, considering the cost per person.
Right. I must say I'm not that impressed with Mickey's Very Merry. And I asked if she took advantage of the cocoa cookies and waffles, which is the waffles are a new thing this year. So they did some. Lines are crazy long for that stuff, which it always is. That's not surprising. Mm-hmm. Hardly any characters out. Again, I also, from when I was there a few years ago, I noticed there weren't a ton of characters out for the Christmas time. From what I understand, there's many, many more for Halloween. So the ride times are great, but they're waiting for fireworks and parade. She just said that she didn't feel it was worth the money at $92 per person. Again, as I told her, you know, it's a... Earlier in the season, it's a better value, and when it snowed on Main Street, it was just amazing. She said it had not snowed yet. I told her it's only during the parade on Main Street. Mm-hmm. You know, she said Main Street and the castle look amazing, but it's just a price issue.
Michael, great point, though. You could see Main Street and the castle at any point you wanted during the early evening as well, too.
You can, and see, the thing is, and I talked about this when we talked about the Halloween party, was that if I want to see Boo to You, the parade, I have to go to a party. I'm not seeing it any other time. The Very Merry Christmas Party, or parade, the whatever that's called, because I don't really know what it's called, but the parade, they show close to Christmas during the day. Mm-hmm. So you can go see it. We've seen it many times for free. So enabling people to do that kind of takes that option away.
Mm-hmm. So let's wrap this up here today. So we've got a bunch of upgrades. So I know how we stand with the Magic Kingdom cabanas. We're kind of split on the highway in the sky. The cabanas, we in no version are we reserving the, I guess you'd say, the main pool cabana, but we might consider the quiet pool cabana and the express transportation option is, I think, a yes all around. Would you agree, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, give me your overall thought on some of these upgrades, though. I know I made a point on, you know, a text string with a couple friends a couple days ago. What does this overall give you the feel of? Does it, do you have an overall opinion of any of this stuff, or what is this? What's the underlying thought? Or perhaps I should go first and give you time to think about it.
I've got it, but go ahead.
No, then you go, because I want your answers. Go ahead, you go, Michael.
Oh, no, you could go first. I was just being funny, like, yeah, I don't really need time. It's something that we've just thought about a lot. And another example of this was there was Club Disney or whatever it was, Club Mickey, I don't remember what it was called, but at Hollywood Studios, you could go in and dance with Mickey, Goofy, Daisy, Donald. They were all dancing with you, and it was free. The second they saw that people liked that, all of a sudden it became Club Villain, and they started charging for it. Mm-hmm. And then now it's at a premium. Only people who want to spend that money can get in there. It's the same sort of thing to me, and I don't think that the cabanas, I think the cabanas to me are what I had stated earlier. I think that there's a certain segment of the population that feels like they should be entitled to have more than what the regular park guest has. And I think that this is Disney catering to those individuals, giving them an option for the VIP treatment while they're at Disney World. Hmm. This other stuff, though, that's just how I feel. I mean, some of it, though, I think is about convenience. I don't think it's all under one category. The transportation, I think, is Disney trying to find an option that will help the guest. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I think that the monorail dinner option is there to give options to the guest.
Yeah.
So I guess it's all just an opinion of how you feel.
Correct. It is difficult to lump all this into one thing because there are some low-cost options, which definitely makes sense, you know, both time-wise, you know, and monetary-wise as well. But some of the ones that seem to be extravagant, it's like, oh my gosh, who could possibly do that? So, what's your thought, Pete?
There's a difference between expensive and just ridiculous money-wasting. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to have a Plaid show me around the parks for a day. I can't personally afford to have a Plaid do that.
Okay, explain to everyone what a Plaid is, Pete, because they might not understand.
A Plaid is essentially a private tour guide. Mm-hmm. You get behind-the-scenes stuff. You get, you know, special reservations in restaurants. You can get special treatment at different ride locations. And, you know, they'll give you a lot of background information. It's basically a wandering concierge that's at your disposal while you're going to the park.
I'm sorry, 20-second timeout. Did you see the episode of Blackish?
I did.
Yes, that was hilarious.
That was so well done. Anthony Anderson's amazing too, isn't it? So
he is.
That is amazing. I'm sorry. Back to your story, buddy.
But like, for the money it would cost to have a Plaid versus the money it would cost to get a cabana in Tomorrowland. I would much rather have that money go towards getting a Plaid for a day.
Because you gain some really good knowledge.
You get something out of it. It's not just some place to relax and get out of the sun.
Correct. Correct. And you know, we like to think of ourselves as, well, I like to think of myself as, I can try to find the silver linings in a lot of this. And here's the only thing I wonder is, and by no means am I saying anything out of line or bragging, but my wife and I work hard, and we actually make fairly good money, but we're responsible with our money. And I think to myself, there's no way in the world I could possibly justify or afford some of this. And some of this I can. So I guess there's not one one answer, but some of this feels like the haves, which if you go to Disney World, I feel like you're a have because you've disciplined yourself to save for that money. And the have mores, which, you know, many of us, most of us, almost all of us will never be, you know? So by no means am I griping about it. It just seems some of it is so over the top. So, but I am definitely in favor of the express transportation, and I would consider the highway in the sky myself, too. So
there's things on there I like, and then there's things that I just don't see enough value in for me to actually even consider it.
All right, so by next show, Mike and Pete, I want to figure out how to become one of the have-mores. Are you guys in?
I know how to become a have-more. I haven't not been able to accomplish it.
Can we do it? Is there any way I could turn like Nintendo points or anything into that? Can I?
Yeah, no.
Like when I play Contra at the end of the game, can I turn that somehow into money? No.
No. Don't think so.
I don't know if I'd be comfortable as a have-more anyway, to be honest with you. I've just kind of made myself feel comfortable with that.
Okay. You know?
I would love to have more, but I just don't know if I'd fit in up there.
Michael, I'm willing to try.
So, oh, yeah, I would too. I would give it a shot.
When you're a have more, you don't have to fit in.
This is true.
You become an eccentric Havmore. That's all.
Remember,
I just figure I'd be Black-ish. The Molly Brown on the Titanic. You know, I don't know.
Well, you know what? We'd give it a good shot. So, anything in closing, guys? No.
No, yes. Not really. Right. Not for me, at least.
Michael. So before we go, you know, you are a guest and you're a regular guest. But how can people reach you? Give me a plug for what you need a plug, buddy.
Just find us over at Theme Park Brothers on YouTube. That's the main place to find us. Head over and subscribe if you haven't already. It really helps. Like the videos if you like them, and comment away. That really helps us as well. Comment and get the conversation started.
Yeah. We're all Disney crazy here, but some of Michael's best work, I just complimented him the other day, was things not necessarily from Disney. For example, his SeaWorld video recently, which deals with the SeaWorld version of Christmas, is spectacular. So if you've not checked it out, it is really worth your time to check that out. SeaWorld looks fantastic at Christmas time, so please do so. Pete, Chris, you know, you can find us both at the WDW Review Podcast on Facebook. We have our own individual, you know, Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts. You can search our name there on Facebook. But I think that's just about it, guys. So thank you for joining me.
Well, I was going to say, stay tuned. I know we're going to have an announcement coming up, not in a too distant future, that's going to involve us and some of our friends. So
I hear things in the wind. Is this big things in the wind, I hear? So
we'll see.
We'll see.
I don't know how big it'll be yet, but it'll be something.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us. Have a great evening.
You too. See you, everybody.
Michael?
Oh, see you later.
Gosh. We got to work on that.
Well, you have a great line out. I don't. I've got nothing. And I was going to say, see you. No, I can't. That's your line.
We're going to work on that line, Michael, and I'm not stopping the recording just yet. Not until we finish this.
So. Oh, jeez.